Well, we are in lesson 6 of our Parenting God's Way series. For those who were not here last week, which I think there are a couple in here, I apologize, it's a bummer, but halfway through the lesson, I was getting too into it, and I ripped out my microphone. So the whole lesson is gone skis. But I can't get you the paper lesson if you guys want to read through that. But there's a couple of things we said that wasn't in the lesson, and it's kind of ironic because I even said, man, I'm glad I'm recording this. And then it's gone. So anyway, bummer. But yeah, if you were not here last week and you would like a lesson from last week, get with me. I'd be glad to print that for you and get it to you. But today we are in lesson 6, and we have much to talk about. If you guys are familiar with the book, we're getting into actual biblical methods now. Last week we kind of talked about just evaluating unbiblical methods and the way that kind of we default as parents. There's I think we listed about 6 basic parenting methods that you probably found yourself in one of those. I found myself in a few of those. But now we're going to get into what it is that the Bible actually says we ought to do as parents. And I'll give to you up front. Here's what the Bible says about parents and what we ought to do method-wise. We need to communicate with our children and the rod. Communication and the rod. These are both found in Scripture, and the rod is becoming less and less popular. That's, by the way, what we call spanking. And it's not beating. Totally different. It's not abusive when done properly. But the Bible makes it clear that that is part of the way that we ought to raise our children, but it's only a part of it. The other part is communication. And today, communication is all in. But 50 years ago, communication was nowhere near the picture. And it's just the pendulum of our society. And again, I would submit to you as we find the fruit of not correcting with the rod, in about 20 years, there will be a lot less communication and a lot more of the rod. It's just the way that our society works. It fluctuates with what happens to work in our minds at the moment. But the Word of God doesn't change. And so we're going to lay out a very biblical approach to parenting. We took a long time explaining goals and what we want for our children to be, and some fundamentals about parenting that have to undergird everything we're going to say this week and next week. But in our book, the communication aspect is actually 3 chapters, okay? And we're going to do 3 chapters in 1 lesson. Amen? We're going to do it, right? Maybe in 2 weeks. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see how it goes. I don't want to push us through it. But that being said, I want to jump right into our lesson this morning. And so if you would take your Bibles and go to Proverbs 23. Proverbs 23. We're going to be flipping a lot in our Bibles today, so just be prepared for that. Proverbs chapter 23. And we'll begin our reading in verse number 13. Solomon says this: withhold not correction from the child, for if thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die. Beat, not like what we're talking. This is just not. This is not an abusive or angry. This is just hitting him with the rod in the right spot, in the right way, with the right attitude. But we can't get away from it, can we? It's right here, and he's not going to die. I think sometimes it sounds like they're going to die, but they will not die. And by the way, we'll read all of the verses, but it is fraught throughout Proverbs. The idea of the rod and spanking, this is just one part, and we'll talk more about that next week. But there's a reason we're mentioning it this week, okay? So withhold not correction from the child, for if thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die. That thou beat him with the rod, and here's what that does for your child. Thou shalt deliver his soul from hell. What does that mean? Well, you're pointing him toward the cross. You're pointing him toward a God who he's accountable to. There's too many children that don't feel they're accountable to anybody. And that is a result of absence of correction, okay? And again, we'll talk more about that in our next lesson. But look in verse number 15. My son, Now, when he says my son, that's a very endearing term. That's I love you, please listen to me. That's what he, and that phrase is all throughout Proverbs as well, because Solomon loves his son. And by the way, the whole book of Proverbs is written to Solomon's son, to help his son, to be the man that God has him to be. And so he says, my son, if thine heart be wise, my heart shall rejoice, even mine. Yea, my reins shall rejoice when thy lips speak right things. Let not thine heart envy sinners. Are you seeing a connection with the word heart quite a bit here? Yeah. But be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long. For surely there is an end, and thine expectation shall not be cut off. Hear thou, my son. Do you see the entreaty and the love? And this is not an abusive parent, is it? It's a parent who loves his child. And he's saying, hear thou, my son, and be wise, and guide thine heart in the way. Jump to verse 22. He says, hearken unto thy father that begat thee, and despise not thy mother when she is old. Look in verse 26. My son, say those next four words. Give me thine heart. And let thine eyes observe my ways. And so we're going to read this short introduction here, and then we'll pray. But in Proverbs 23, Solomon combined, here's the blanks, rich, loving communication. Rich, loving communication with the rod. This is the biblical model. Combining rich, loving communication with the rod. And together, they form a God-pleasing, spiritually satisfying, balanced approach to discipline, correction, and training of children. I'll just say this. Here's what children need. They need to know they're under authority. And this is what the rod brings. But they also need to know that they're loved and understood. And I would contend the abuse can be in both camps. And I would contend even this, that most of the abusing of children has way more to do with the parent not loving their kid and not caring about what their kid thinks, and it's my way the highway, it's emotional. And listen, abuse for a child is emotional more than it is physical. And I would contend that children are abused, not in a legal sense, but in a real sense, even without any kind of physical interaction. And they're abused emotionally, they're abused mentally, and spiritually. And that's because parents don't get this down, the communication part. And it has to be tied with the rod. And anything we do with the rod, and by the way, anything we do with any form of discipline, no matter what our world does to discipline our children, if it is not tied to rich, loving communication, then it is going to be abusive. And so we're going to talk today about how it is that we can communicate with our children biblically. Okay, so let's pray and we'll get into our lesson today. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, for how it gives us everything we need as parents. And Lord, you know the muddy waters that are here when it comes to parenting our children and raising them for your glory. And Lord, we're thankful that you've given us your word. Help us to have faith in your word, that it's sufficient. Help us to learn from you how you'd have us to raise our children, and not just because it works the best, but because it's your way, and you're deserving of us to raise our children the way that you'd have us to. Help us to be submitted to that this morning. And I pray you help me as a teacher as we go through this lesson to be clear and help the lesson to be easily to be understood. Lord, we love you. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Amen. Okay, so communication. And again, we're going to go as quick as we need to. Okay, so I want you to know this. It would be kind of ironic if we're teaching about communication and then we don't really communicate well here. Okay, and so make sure you stop me and we'll take as long as we need to get through this. Because I would contend this is more important than anything when it comes to parenting. And a lot of times we say, well, we're going to learn how to parent. We need to learn how to discipline. Well, that's true. But I would tell you, discipline even is wasted if it's not tied with this lesson here, okay? And so let's jump into it. So number one is this, rich communication. rich communication. So letter A is this. Communication is dialogue. D-I-A-L-O-G-U-E. Dialogue. D-I-A-L-O-G-U-E. Not monologue. To communicate means I say something, and then the person I am communicating with says something. Communication is not lecturing. That's different. We're not just imparting knowledge. We're communicating. Okay? Go to Proverbs 18. We're going to flip to a lot of these verses today. Proverbs chapter 18. And verse 13. Everybody there? Solomon says this in verse 13. He that answereth a matter before he heareth it, it is folly and shame. Listen, it's foolish. It's foolish to solve a problem that you don't know it fully exists. Well, what do you mean? Okay, you see your kid do something. You don't talk to him. You don't figure anything out. You're immediately on fire, and you deal with your child, and you say something like, I know why you did that, and here's why you did wrong, and you did this, and they did this, and you weren't even there. And you're just telling them what you think about it without having full understanding. We have to learn to hear the matter before we answer a matter. We cannot answer a question we have not heard yet. Does that make sense? We cannot fix a problem, because here's the thing, oftentimes we fix the wrong problem. What do you mean? Well, that maybe they didn't mean to do what, now maybe they should have been more careful, and that's a conversation to be had, but maybe they didn't have any ill intent, but you're telling them they do, and now they don't feel understood, and now they don't care what you say, and there's not going to be a lot of help there, you see? So we need to learn, calm down. And by the way, whenever we blow a gasket, it just communicates to our child that we don't really have a lot of control here. We're going to take it by our authority, you know? But we just calm down, talk to them calmly. We need to facilitate communication. If you yell, they're not going to want to talk back, right? If someone's yelling at you and letting you have it, do you feel like you can have an open conversation with this person? No. So what we need to do is let them talk. Let's hear their heart, right? Because remember, what are we learning here in parenting? We're learning to shepherd the heart, not shepherd behavior. Behavior is a result of the heart. So we need to learn to get to their heart. And a big part of that is letting them talk. Now, they might lie to you, right? But you just need to be willing to hear them, okay? And you'd be surprised that as you truly try to understand them, how much they will reveal. And a lot of times they'll tell on themselves. Because they can tell you actually care about what's going on. Okay, so that, there's that. So don't just talk to your children, talk with your children. And there is a big difference in those two approaches. When our children are young, here's a kind of eye-opening, but also kind of a sad statement. When our children are young, we are not interested in what they have to say. And when they become teenagers, we wonder why they won't talk to us. Well, we've conditioned them not to talk to us. Because they're children. I don't need to hear you. But we do need to. We need to listen to them. We need to understand them. Why? Because we need to deal with their heart. And so that takes us to our next letter here. Letter B. Focus on understanding. Focus on understanding. And if you're there in Proverbs 18 already, so just go to verse 2 and we'll read that in a second. Verse 2 says this, a fool hath no delight in understanding, but that his heart may discover itself. So here's the way that a fool communicates. A fool communicates by telling you what their heart thinks, and not worried about understanding what their heart is doing. Does that make sense? A fool is just interested in understanding themselves and making sure everybody else understands them. But they are not concerned with understanding others. You see? We cannot be that way. We need to learn to find out what's happening in the hearts of others. And by the way, it's not just children. We'll talk about that in a different part. part of our lesson today too. Let's see. True communication is not learning how to express your thoughts. That's not communication. It is learning how to draw out the thoughts of others. And there's a verse that I wish I would have put in here in Proverbs where it says that a man of understanding can learn how to draw out from others like deep waters. And I wish I could find that verse and tell you, but I don't want to take the time now, but maybe next week I'll find that verse. But this is what a man of understanding, a wise man, is able to draw out from others what's happening in their heart. And so your first objective in correction must not be to tell your child how you feel about what they have done. And then if we're honest with ourselves, this is our first reaction, to make sure that our child knows what we think about what they've done. You see? And there's a place for that. But your first objective needs to be to understand what is going on in the heart of your child. The first thing we need to find out is what your child thinks about what they've done. Right? Sometimes they have no remorse. And there's a different conversation for a child who has no remorse than whenever you talk to a child and say, man, I did that and I shouldn't have. We're having a different conversation with that child. You see? So we first need to find out what your child thinks about what they've done. Maybe they didn't even understand that what they did was a problem. Well, that could be a problem because we probably told them, you know? So that's a different conversation. And so the conversation needs to meet with what's happening in their heart, because what we're shepherding is their heart, okay? So our first objective needs to be to understand what's going on in the heart of our child. Number three, what is important in correction is not to vent your feelings, anger, or hurt. What is important, and here's what we're really trying to do in correction, is understanding the nature of the struggle your child is having. Because we said this in our first lesson when we talked about the heart. But whenever they outwardly do something that's disobedient to God, they have already in their heart, a decision has been made in their heart that caused them to act out in disobedience, you see? And we need to find out what's happening in their heart. If your child punches another person, they've already had an angry spirit in their heart and an unforgiving, uncompassionate, inconsiderate something in their heart that we need to deal with. You see? We just tell them, don't punch. Well, then next time they're just going to scream. It's not really the behavior that's really the problem. The problem is there's something in their heart. If their child will not listen and obey, then they've already decided in their heart that they don't really care to obey you. And that's a problem in their heart. It's a rebellion in their spirit that we need to deal with, because God commands that children obey their parents in the Lord, for this is right. Myla can say that verse, by the way. never mind. I don't have time. Okay, so, but they need to learn that. They need to have an obedience, because in the end, what they're saying is, I don't care what God says about this. I want to do what I want, and I don't care what mom and dad wants. And that's a conversation we need to have that's deeper than just don't do that. Right? Okay. So we have to know what the struggle in the heart of your child is and deal with that struggle, you see. Number three, you must strive to understand the why, not just the what. And again, the behavior you see is always a reflection of what is in the heart. Always. Okay, so to summarize all of that, we said this in a lot of different angles to help hopefully it hit home. But here's what we need to do. You want to understand your child's inner struggles. You need to know what's happening in your child. Here's a practical way to do that. You need to look at the world through his or her eyes. And learn to be empathetic. That means to be able to see through their experience. What are they thinking about? And this is a skill that we have to develop. This will enable you to know what aspects of the life-giving message of the gospel are appropriate for the conversation. Remember, we said that biblical parenthood needs to be centered in the gospel and in the cross. And we need to bring them, we need to show them where they failed, but also explain to them that the gospel, Jesus died because we fail. And he wants to help us to do right. And we can only live the way God has us to live as we understand that Jesus is the only way to do that. Okay, so that's the summary. And here's the really important part too, number six. If you're going to understand and help your child understand himself, you're going to need to develop certain skills. Now, with any skill, if this is something that you're brand new to, it's just going to take some time. And this is why we started with just developing our mindset and some fundamentals and changing how we think about parenting, because it's going to take time to learn how to do this, to learn how to communicate with our child in a way that we can understand what's happening in their heart, especially if we've done this for a few years the other way, where we just tell them what we think and tell them what they think. And when they mess up and they don't meet what we think, then we correct and we don't talk. We need to learn this skill, and it just takes time. Takes practice. You have to learn to help your children express themselves. Now we're saying, Brother Chad, I thought we said that was a bad thing. Well, it's not a bad thing. A child expressing themselves is a very good thing. The problem comes in our society when that's where it ends. Okay, you've expressed yourself, and that's all we care about, as long as you're happy. Well, no, they need to learn to express themselves so that we can learn how to discipline. You see? You must learn to facilitate conversation. Sometimes it's awkward and you don't know what to say. It's just a skill you have to develop. And learn how to talk to your child. And by the way, learn how to talk to your child, not to another 30-year-old, right? And we need to get in their mind and talk to them and humble ourselves a little bit and get on their page and hear them. You must strive to discern matters of the heart, not just behavior and words. If you would go ahead and turn to Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 5. Aha! I knew I had that verse. That's it. The verse I was telling you about before. Proverbs 20, verse 5. Here's what Solomon says. Counsel in the heart of man is like deep water. What's going on inside their heart, it's like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out. You see? A man of understanding that's synonymous with a man of wisdom, a man who's trying to live the way God has them to live. Here's what we do when we're trying to parent the way God has us to. We learn to draw out the counsel of their heart. And it takes practice. And it takes a commitment to do it God's way and to not just tell your kids what you think. But it starts with an actual desire to want to know what's happening in your child's heart, to actually love your child in this way. Now, I know you love your children, but specifically in this way, that you care about what's happening in their heart. Why? Because nothing is going to be better until we deal with what's happening in their heart. Now, the behavior might be better, but their walk with God is not going to be better if they only change what's happening on the outside and they have not dealt with what's happening on the inside. We need to care about them that way and learn to communicate. Yeah. Get on their level. Christ was our example. Go ahead and turn to Hebrews. It's toward the end of the Bible there. Before the Peter books. Hebrews chapter 4. Everybody there? That's fast. Sweet. Hebrews chapter 4, and we're going to look in verse number 14. The writer of Hebrews says, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession." And so pause right there. Jesus is our high priest, meaning that he's the one that pays for our sins. He's the one that has redeemed us. He's the way that we can communicate with the Father. In the Old Testament, you couldn't just talk to God. You had to go through the high priest, and he would tell God what you wanted him to say. The priests don't exist anymore biblically. We're all priests, and we have a high priest, Jesus Christ, and he makes it possible that we can go directly to God and talk to him. Now, what we're going to do is describe this high priest a little bit. Okay, look at verse 15. "For we have not and high priest, which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Well, what was he talking about here? Well, Jesus, let's just read it. God could have remained in heaven, and he could have spoken to us the way he did in Exodus 19 on the top of Mount Sinai with thundering clouds and just bolted out what he wanted to say to us. But instead, God chose to take on flesh and blood and to become a human. Have you ever wondered why God did that? There's a lot of reasons why God did that. But one reason that God did that and became a human being is so that he can actually physically experience what we experience. Physically, emotionally, spiritually experience exactly what we experience. He came to look at the world through human eyes, to fully understand what it is to be human and to face the temptations that humans face. And that's pretty awesome that God would do that. He did not have to do that, but he did, because he loves us. And he wants for us to know that he truly does understand us. And he's faced the temptations we've faced. He knows what we're feeling. He knows what we're going through, not just because he's God, but he became a human being and faced what we did. Often, we're too focused on correcting external behavior that we never take the time to understand. I mean, truly understand our children. A lot of times parenting is reduced to, I'm really frustrated, so let's deal with it. And that's basically how parenting turns into. And before that is just do whatever you want. I'm not annoyed yet, so do whatever you want. Daddy, can I do this? Well, it doesn't affect me, so sure, right? And just do whatever you want until I'm upset. And now I'm upset, now it's time for parenting, you see? But that's we need to understand our children at all times and parent them through life, shepherd them, not just in matters of correction, but guide them and direct them and understand them and help them, even as Christ did for us. So here's an example conversation. Your child did something, and here's some questions that'll kind of help us make this more practical, okay? First, I want to say this. The why did you line of questioning. You know what I'm talking about? Pull them aside. Now, why did you do that? It didn't really work a lot with children or adults. Can you imagine your superior pulls you aside and says, now I want to know, why did you do that? And then we're, okay, now I feel like I can express. Now that you said it that way, let's have a talk. You know, that's not going to work out. Here's some more productive questions, okay? How about something like this? What were you feeling when you hit your sister? You see? If you just say, why did you do that? Well, now they're going to come up with some rational reason that makes sense. Because they know when I say what I actually, the why, boom! Right? So they're going to come up with some rational, oh, I didn't know, that's a lie, I knew. Or, you know what I'm talking about. And they're going to come up with, they're creative. And they'll come up with some way why it wasn't their fault. But instead we should ask them, okay, what was going on in your heart? What were you feeling when you did that? When you punched your sister, what were you thinking about? What were you feeling? And usually if you talk to them, they'll say, I was angry because they did this or that. Ah, so now we can deal with that. And so how do we react when we're angry? Do we react in anger? No. Reacting in anger is foolish. It's not glorifying to God. We need to learn to forgive. And you can have a talk that way with your child. You see? It's a lot different conversation. Instead of like, why did you do that? Well, they did this and this. Okay. They're not going to get anywhere. What did your sister do to make you mad? And let's try to understand. Let them talk. Imagine if you're them. Let's hear what's going on here. Help me understand how hitting her seemed to make things better. Really, truly, help me understand. Is there something I'm missing as I come into this confrontation? Maybe there's a reason you hit her that is a good reason. Let's hear it out. Yeah. By the way, they're not going to come up with anything, but you're giving them opportunity to understand and explain themselves. And eventually, I'm just going to tell you, eventually when you talk to them like this and you actually care, they're going to tell on themselves. And they're going to say something like, I shouldn't have done that. You know, and that's where we want. And that's where it hits the heart, you see. And then when they get the correction, the spanking, they know why. Not just because mom and dad are mad. You see? You see how these need to go together? What was the problem with what she was doing to you? Now, this is an important question. You see in the parentheses there? You need to not deny the fact that your child has been sinned against. Okay, your child did, I mean, your sister maybe did something that she shouldn't have done. And I'll deal with her about that, okay? But you don't control your sister, you control yourself, right? And the way we react when people sin against us is not by hitting. You understand? And this is a much different, are you following this conversation, this line of thinking? You can ask him this, and what other ways could you have responded? And then you can say, how do you think that your response reflected trust or lack of trust in God's ability to care for and protect you? You can just ask him. In pretty much every circumstance, you can ask them, can you explain to me how the way you responded was glorifying to God? And they're not going to be able to. And really, that's the main goal, isn't it? Their life is to glorify God. And you'll reinforce what is their goal as their parent. And whenever someone asks your kid, what is it that your parent cares about? They're going to say, that I glorify God. Right? And that's what we want. Usually we'll say, what is it that your parent cares about? Oh, that I listen. Or that I'm a really good ball player. Or that I'm really good at piano. Or something like that. But in the end, here's what we need for our children to say. My parent would be happiest if I glorified God. Because that's what we need. That's our goal, isn't it? Let's communicate that to our kids. So that this is rich communication. I want to say this. This is really helpful. Letter C. You stand both above and beside your child. That's the blank. You stand both above and beside your child. You stand above your child because God has placed you in authority, and that has to be made clear. You cannot ignore that you are God's agent to be their authority. You must correct your children when they are outside of the circle of safety. And you remember the circle of safety I drew? We'll talk more about that in the coming lessons, but whenever your children are not where God wants them to be, and where does God want them to be? Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy mother and father. If when your children are not obeying or honoring, then they're outside of where God wants them to be, and they're in a dangerous place. And we need to bring them back into that place, back right with God again. Not just back right with us again, you see. So you are above your child. But number two, you also stand beside your child as a sinner and as one under authority. Remind your child that just as they are commanded by God to obey you, that you are commanded by God to correct. You cannot just decide, I'm not going to correct. Unless you just, that, if you decide, I'm just not going to correct this, then I got to be frank. You are not right with God then, you see? And you need to tell your child that. I tell Milo all the time, Daddy doesn't want to correct you, but Daddy has to. Because that's what God expects. And you're not right with them, and so we need to have a talk about this, okay? And that's good for your child to know that they're under God and you're under God. Also, remind your child that you also struggle to do what God commands you to do. When you're correcting your child, it's not because you think you're better than them. They mess up. So do you. We ought never to be surprised when our children sin, because we sin too. And if your child has any notion that they're being corrected because you feel they're better than they are, then in their mind, they're going to conjure up all of the bad things that you've done. And they see it. They live with you. And you tell your child this. Hey, Daddy messes up too. And God deals with Daddy too. But this is how God has commanded for you to be dealt with. But your sin. We need to deal with your sin. Because we cannot continue to live like what you've done is okay. You see? You both need God's help and grace. And the way that God gives your children help and grace is through biblical parenting and correction. The Bible says in Proverbs somewhere that if you don't correct your child, then you hate them. Now, that's strong language. Hate is not like, I hate you, but hate is loving less than you ought. And a loving parent will correct. Even in Hebrews, I believe it's in chapter 12 or so, that it says God loves who he corrects. He corrects who he loves. And so God corrects us because he loves us. And we love our children, and we correct them because we don't want them to continue on living life as if it's okay for them to live the way that they're living. Yeah. And so that's how God helps your child, through your parenting. Yeah. We both need God's help. Okay, number two. We're not going to get through this, but let's just keep going. Number two. It's a little bit of bolts here. Types of communication. Types of communication. Often, parenting is reduced to three basic forms of communication. Rules, correction, discipline. However that looks. But mostly, this is when parenting happens. Whenever we need to tell the kids the rules, whenever the kid needs to be corrected because they broke the rules, or disciplined because they broke the rules. You see? That's most parenting. You give the child the rules. You correct them when they break the rule by telling them the rule again. And then you announce discipline for breaking the rules. This is most of parenting. And most parents would admit that rules, correction, and discipline make up 80 to 90% of their communication with their child. Like, imagine yourself talking to your children, and most parents, about 80 to 90% of the words spoken to my children are rules, communication, or discipline. Yeah. It's not uncommon. Communication, though, must be multifaceted and rich. Brother Chad, we wrote that twice. I know, but it's really important. We need to have rich communication with our children. This section will list some other forms of communication that must lie beneath and support what you say when providing rules, correction, and discipline. Because, listen, there's nothing wrong with rules, correction, and discipline. Those three things need to be a part. But these, what we're going to talk about, also need to be there. Because we said this, a child needs to know they're under authority, and they need to know they're loved. And if a child does not have a deep understanding that you love them and actually want to understand them and help them, then the rules and the discipline and the correction are going to mean something else. You see? They need to have a good understanding that you truly love them and want what's best for them. Go ahead and turn to 1 Thessalonians 5:14, if you haven't already. Sounds like you already have. Nice. Okay, here's what Paul told the church of Thessalonica. He said this in verse 14. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. Why do we read that verse, Brother Jen? Well, because those who are unruly, that means they're not doing right. They need to be exhorted. They need to be told what's right. They need to be confronted and told that the way that they're going is wrong and it's going to hurt their life. They need that. That's how we love them. But if someone is feeble-minded, they need to be comforted, not yelled at. if they're discouraged or something, they don't need to be confronted. They need to be comforted. Someone is weak, they need to be supported. You see? And not all communication that is helpful from the authority is rules, correction, discipline. Okay? And that's why I read that verse. Because we need to match our instruction and our communication to the heart of our children. And by the way, the only way you know if your child is either unruly, feeble-minded or weak, is if you talk to them. You need to know what's going on. And then deal with them properly, you see? Yeah, okay. So the first one, letter B, is encouragement. Encouragement. Children need communication designed to inspire and fill with hope and courage. Your children know the pain of failure. They, like you, find things looking hopeless at times. And so you can help them assess the reasons for disappointment, find out why they're discouraged, and encourage them. Help them to know that God can help them do what they need to do, or on and on. But sometimes your children just need to be encouraged. Correction. Now, this is one of the things that we need to give, and it's mixed in with a rich communication. But correction remedies something that's wrong. If they're going the wrong way, we need to correct. That's what correction is. Correction is not punishment. Those are different. Punishment is just, you did wrong, boom. Correction is, you're going the wrong way. Let's bring you back. You see? And correct. Those are two different things, correction and punishment. Correction gives your children insight into what is wrong and what may be done to correct the problem. You see? Correction helps your children to understand God's standard and teaches them to assess their behavior against the standard. So you tell them what God expects, and you show them how they broke God's standard. And then you show them what needs to be done to bring them back in line with God's standard. And oftentimes that's the rod. And we administer correction, and it's over. And they're right with God again. They're right with us again. I would contend, now we're not at the rod place yet, but I contend more abuse is done by parents who don't give the rod and instead shun their kids for 3 days. You did wrong. Now think about it and stew over it. No, you correct and it's over. It's forgiven. We're moving on. You see? But anyways, correction. And now we've been corrected. Our relationship has been restored and we can move forward. You see? Correction. D, rebuke. A rebuke censors behavior. So sometimes a child must experience your sense of alarm, shock, and dismay as at what he has done or said. Now, Brother Chad, you're not supposed to yell, I thought. Yeah, you're right. But there are times where you need to look him in the face and say, do not run toward the street. You see? And they need to sense that this is like immediately I need to make sure I do what Mom just said because this is important. You see? Rebuke. Or that they ran over an old lady. You pull them aside and say, no, this is important. We need to be focused about this. You see? And that's not yelling. That's being stern. But we do not yell and get angry, scream, but there's time for rebuke. Entreaty. You probably have never spelled that word, so let me spell it. E-N-T-R-E-A-T-Y. Entreaty. This is communication that is earnest and intense. It involves pleading, soliciting, urging, and even sometimes to the point of begging, where you're really concerned about this. It's the earnest pleading of a father or mother who, understanding his child, the ways of God, and the extremity of the moment, is willing to bear his soul in earnest pleading for his child to act in wisdom or faith. When they're in a situation where if they don't make the right decision, they can really suffer from this. And so you plead with them. Okay, next one, instruction. Instruction is the process of providing a lesson or informing or information that will help your child to understand their world. Children come into this world not knowing anything. They don't know how to react. They don't know how to treat people. Actually, the only thing they know is they have a sin nature. And so they pretty much know things, and the things they know are usually not right. And we need to instruct them. We need to teach them. That happens through the way we live, but it also needs to be some lessons taught to them with words, instructing. Okay? Children need information about themselves and others. They need to understand the world as spiritual reality and the principles of God. They need to be taught that. And if we don't teach them these things, if we don't teach them what the Bible says, they're not going to come up with it on their own. None of us do. That's why we need church. That's why we come and hear the preaching. Because we're not going to come up with what God wants us for us on just default. And just, what's the best thing? No, it's not going to be what God expects. And definitely not with your children who have had no spiritual training hardly, except for what is given to them directly, mostly from us. They need instruction. The next one is warning. Warning. Your children's lives are fraught with danger. Warnings put us on guard regarding probable danger. See? Warning means this is something that would happen if you're not careful. Okay, so a warning is actually merciful speech, for it is the equivalent of posting a sign informing motorists about a bridge that is out. You see, if you keep going down this bridge, you will fly off. And they need to know that before they get to the edge of the bridge, you know, and your kids need that. This road you're going down, it leads to a bad place. This friend you're hanging out with, he's going to lead you to a place that is not okay. This relationship you have with the opposite gender, yeah, you think it's innocent and everything, but it's going to head down to a place if you're not careful. They need warning. Yeah. H is teaching. Teaching is very similar to instruction, but it's just the imparting knowledge, not just practical information, but just teaching them stuff. They need to be taught by their parents. We should be involved with them knowing how to read and do math and help them with these things. We should teach and help. The last one is this, prayer. Now, prayer is not communicating with the child, right? We don't pray to our children. I hope. We pray to God, right? But it is nevertheless an essential element of communication between the parent and child. When the child hears you pray, the child knows that you are concerned with talking with God. And then you can teach your children to pray. And our most penetrating insights into our children will often come as they pray, as they're just being honest with God. That's really cool. So prayer is an important part. You should pray as a family. It keeps God involved. Okay? We have 4 minutes. We might be able to do this. Okay, number 3. A life of communication. This would be a way of life. Letter A. Again, we're going to stress this again. Shepherding the heart. This is part of shepherding their heart. That this means helping them understand themselves, how God works is what that's supposed to say, the ways of God, how sin works in the human heart, and how the gospel comes to them at the most profound levels of human need. Basically, it's this, helping them understand who God is, helping them understand who they are, and that they need God's help to live the way that they're supposed to live. Shepherding the hearts of children also involves helping them understand their motivations, goals, wants, wishes, and desires. They need to be honest with themselves and not just continually justifying and rationalizing their sin away. We need to help them understand, no, you're a sinner, and you've made a bad decision here, and I do the same. And remember, this is how the gospel applies to both of us. But if we only punish, then they're going to just become very good at rationalizing. And they're going to eventually start believing themselves and not even know that they're a sinner anymore. And it's going to be very difficult for a child to be saved if they don't understand that they are a sinner. So we need to shepherd their heart and their true intents of their heart. Okay, letter B. Counting the cost. That's the blank. Counting the cost. Biblical communication is expensive. It's going to cost money? Well, no. It takes a lot of time, though. Insightful and penetrating conversations like the ones we've talked about today, they take time. And you're going to have to take time with your children. You're not going to be able to just give them a word and go on your way. You need to be able to carve out some time and sit down with them and have conversations. It takes time. Children require both time and flexibility. You're not going to be able to schedule them in for an appointment to talk about this. You need to deal with them in the moment, if at all possible. Children do not pour their hearts out or open themselves up on a demand schedule. Okay, it is 2:00. Let's talk about what you've done all day. It's not going to really work that way with kids. So you're going to have to open your schedule up if with your kids as much as you can. And then you have to become a good listener. You have to be able to listen well. But there's some blessings to this. Letter C, counting the blessings of paying the cost. We'll do this and, that's actually the end. Let's just read through them fast, and then we'll go over these more involved next week, and we'll start talking about the rod next week, okay? So if you're in the book, it's the first chapter about the rod, okay? I don't know which chapter number that is, but Okay, here's some, okay, when you pay this cost, when you take the time to communicate, when you take the time to fully, truly understand your child and shepherd their heart, here's what's gonna happen. Your parent-child relationship is gonna be better. You're gonna have a better relationship with your child. They're gonna love you in a different way. They're gonna know you love them. They're gonna know you want to understand them. And here's what's gonna happen. They'll probably obey you more because it's a byproduct. This is not the reason we do it. But when your children know that you love them and truly want to help them and not just conform them into where you're not annoyed with them, then there's a much different relationship and dynamic between child and parent. And we'll deal with that more. This chart right here, by the way, is really cool. And I want to take time to explain it. So we'll talk about that next time. The next one is preparation of relationships. Your children will begin to learn how to have actual relationships with other people. Instead of being on one end of really, I'm just going to say, this side of an abusive relationship, where what they say doesn't count, what they think doesn't count, whatever you want, we'll do it. And then your child grows up not knowing how to communicate. Well, this, taking the time to teach them how to communicate and to consider others, you see? Otherwise, it's just either I'm doing what you want or you're doing what I want, because that's how they know how to communicate. And then just a full orbed understanding of life, knowing how life really, truly works. And then redemption integrated with life. They'll see how the gospel truly applies. It's not just something we talk about in junior church, but the gospel actually does affect them and matters in their life and can help them. And so we'll deal with those a little bit deeper next week. And then we'll start talking about how the rod fits into all of this. And then I'll just tell you, after that, what we're going to do is we're going to kind of break down different levels of childhood, and we'll kind of talk about what are some objectives whenever they're like 0 to 5, because that's different whenever they're like, you know, 5 to 12, and then when they're a teenager, kind of like how do we deal with these different stages of life. We'll talk about that after next week's lesson. Hey, let's pray and we'll be done. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for loving us. Thank you, God, for giving us help as we endeavor to raise our children for you. Help us to make you our goal and help glorifying you be the reason behind how we parent. And I pray that you help us as we develop these skills of communicating, help us to submit to that and humble ourselves and learn to talk and understand our children. Lord, we love you. Christ's name, I pray. Amen. Amen. Oh, I want to say this. Next week is the week we leave for camp. There's no Sunday school next week. We're going to have main service at 10 o'clock. Okay? So be here at 10 o'clock next week for our main service. And so obviously our next lesson in parenting class will be the following week. Thank you. You're dismissed.